This is my friend Angela Carroll, and she's going to share with us this morning what the Sunshine class means to her.
Thank you all. Beans means so much to me. A lot. I meant a lot to y'all. Yeah, I care about y'all. If I won't be you, Linda, it won't be you. And Dora Bells too. That means a lot to me. I love you, Linda. Thank y'all.
Everybody just pray. Thank you, God, for heaven. Thank you, God, for being in heaven forever. God and you are my God. Thank you, God. Thank you forever. Amen.
Good morning. My friends, let us continue to love each other since love comes from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and experiences a relationship with God. The person who refuses to love doesn't know the first thing about God because love is God. So you can't know God if you don't love. This is how God showed us for us. God sent Jesus into the world so we might live through him. This is the kind of love we are talking about. Not that we once upon a time God loved, but that God loved us and sent Jesus to clear away our sins and the damage they have done to the relationship with God. My friends, if God doesn't love like this, we have to love each other. No one has seen God, but if we love one another, God lives deeply in us, and God's love becomes complete in us. We are going to love and be loved. First we were loved, now we love. God loves us first. If anyone brags, I love God, and goes right on hating his sister or brother, bae or liar, if we don't love the person we can't see, how can we love the God we can't see? The command we have from Jesus is clear. Loving God includes loving people. You have got to love both.
Hi, I'm Janet Patricia Jones, and I'm going to read you all the things that are about this page that I'm reading. Well, actually, I'm just going to preach. We're just going to be thinking about those who don't always exist, and sometimes we hear about things, you know, like in the news sometimes. Like when we get those, you know, who discriminate us, and that we have a dream, and think about those who don't always have what they have. Just think about what could have happened if you don't think about what's going on between yourself or others around you. To think about all the things they have done. Let have life and a life with you. Think about them, you know, who brought themselves here. Because we all have a dream that we should all speak out and listen to all those around you always. You are the world, and life is life. It's not just a closed up box inside you. Open that box and may they come and receive that message for the realness of life. It's not just about being agnostic or rebellion. Think about the other person who's in your fellow feet. It's about all that it is about preaching the word, and stop being the kind of things that people tell you about yourself. Think about those who are discriminate and discrimination, and think about those who are about you and around you. Stop thinking about those who are dead or deceased. Think about those who are alive, who want to do things for you and about you. It's about how to live, and not just about all the things that you did in your past age. Think about those who are around you and how they want to give life to the fullest, and not just be just all that. Remember, remember, remember of all those around you. And think about those who have fallen for you and those who would like to show their true colors of you and all those around you. Because we all have a dream. I have a dream that we could prosper forever and ever all over this world and all over America. Be who you are, and be different of who you really are. Think about those who had died for you, who had lived for you, and be all the things that are about birth, and all the things that are in the earth that you embellish that great. Think about how you would if you were alive today. Think about those who would like to be with you, and not just the people who are out there trying to get you down or bring you down. And it's not just about those who are the other side of being rebellion, like being evil or being hated or hatred or anything like that, or warlike. It's about being the kind of person you want to be. And preach the word, preach the word, preach the word, because we all have a dream that someday we'll go out there and be proud of who we are. Doesn't matter if you're an immigrant or whatever country you're from. Just think about your state and be proud of who you are. Just think about that and praise you forever. It's about life. And what's in between counts. Just think about how you want to be when you, if you wake up in the first morning of that night, after you go to bed or when you wake up. Just think about how you want to face life and life itself. Just think about that. It's not just about being judged by the book. It's about how you want to be and the kind of ways you want to be and to look at it as a traditional way of our people today. When you go out there, it's not just about all these things they attack you with. All the things, you know, they've done to you or the people who are around you. It's not just all the people who are dead or deceased. It's about how to give life, about having Thanksgiving. And it's not just about food all the time. It's about how you want it to be. Try not to think of you as like all the things and discrimination and how you want to receive it. Think about how you want to know how to preach the word forever and ever and carry on that speech. And it's about how all you want to be. It's not just about being different on yourself. Just think about how you want others to want to follow you. And remember who are with family or without family. And those who don't have what you have at the table. It's about how you want to be. And it's not just about your religion. It's how to believe and how to preach it how you want to believe. Think about those who would share the moment of how you want it to be and all the words that has been said at this podium and how you want to progress that all over this world. Do unto others as they do unto you and follow in their footsteps as you want to do unto them. Repeat all the things that you want to do in life and forgive those who are rebellions and who are rebellious and not just about greed or grief or how you sweat in life. It's about how you want to preach it or how well you want to do it. And onward and onward and onward. We will march and we will be proud that we are this country, that we are America, that we are the kings and queens of Buckingham Palace, and that we shall live forever and ever.
About y'all, but I have been so moved by the ministry of our friends in the Sunshine class this morning, the way they have prayed over us and read scripture for us and preached. My girl Janet, bringing the word. Yeah. And, you know, Janet's, you know, I think that what I really grasp from Janet's sermon is that we have to be who we are created to be by God. And we have to let others be who they were created to be by God and not discriminate, but love one another. Is that right, Janet? Did I get that good? Yeah. Yeah. And my sermon that I'm going to preach to y'all today would not be possible without my co-preacher, Janet, or without my friends here in the Sunshine class. Wednesday before this past one, we all gathered together And we talked about the scripture that Karen read for us this morning, and we wrote this sermon together. They gave me what they thought about the sermon, and together they helped me craft this. And so this sermon is what they have brought to the text, as well as lessons that they have taught me during my time with them. And so I want to begin by telling you all a story of a boy who lived. And this boy eventually grows into a man, but the boy was just a tad bit different than everyone else around him. Some of the things he did or could do were unexplainable. His family would often look on in exasperation and bewilderment, wanting him to stop what he was doing. But his friends would look on in awe and amazement, wondering, how can this be? The boy did much for everyone around him, oftentimes at great cost to himself. He's constantly finding himself in trouble with one authority or another, sometimes for speaking a truth many people didn't want to hear, or being kind to the people who may not have been the most popular, the misfits, the outcasts, and even going so far as to include those very people in the things he did and the places he went. You see, the boy knew he was the only one who could overthrow the evil power in the world. And he sacrificed everything to do so. He even went so far as to sacrifice his life for the ones that he loved. Accepting what was being asked of him, what he had always known he would eventually have to do, Harry Potter went into the Forbidden Forest to face the evil Lord Voldemort, to offer himself as sacrifice so that the people he loved most, his friends, and the entirety of the wizarding and muggle or non-magic world might live. Harry Potter was one of the first works of theology I ever read. And if you don't believe me that Harry Potter is a work of theology, ask yourself if you thought I was talking about Jesus just now, and maybe you'll be able to see the parallels. The series has many themes: loyalty, friendship, courage, hope. But at the very core of the Harry Potter story is love. As Harry grows and learns in the series, he learns that the unique thing about him, the thing that sets him apart from Voldemort, is his ability to love. In the penultimate book in the series, all of the pieces begin to fall into place for both the reader and Harry as he has meetings with the great wizard Dumbledore to learn about the man who eventually became Lord Voldemort and the prophecy which says only Harry has the ability to defeat him. At one meeting in particular, they discuss what type of skill and power it will take to defeat Voldemort. But I haven't got uncommon skill and power, said Harry before he could stop himself. Yes, you have, said Dumbledore firmly. You have a power that Voldemort has never had. You can, I know, said Harry impatiently, I can love. It was only with difficulty that he stopped himself from saying, big deal. Yes, Harry, you can love, said Dumbledore, who looked as though he knew perfectly well what Harry had just refrained from saying. So, when the prophecy says that I'll have the power the Dark Lord knows not, it just means love? Asked Harry, feeling a little let down. "Yes," said Dumbledore, "just love. Just love. Just love. Just love. It was just love that sent God incarnate to earth that we might live. It was just love, not that we loved God, but that God loved us and sent Jesus to be the atonement for our sins, even at the very beginning. It was just love in which God created humankind in God's own image, just love when God breathed life into the human, just love. The scripture tells us that God loved us first, and we love because we were loved first. God's love isn't conditional. We in no way earned this love. We didn't do anything to make God love us, but we were created out of love. We are loved unconditionally. Love is intrinsically woven into our being, and because of this, we love. You might call it a unique, and dare I say, uncommon skill and power to love, especially in the world we live in today, in the world of the 24-hour news cycle filled with harmful rhetoric, politicians attempting to one-up each other no matter how hurtful their words are, as images of war-torn countries that are being bombed flash across our TV screens, a world where not even a few days can go by without a mass shooting, a world where two black men arrive early to a meeting at a coffee shop and have the police called on them and are arrested because they were just a few minutes early. We live in a world that not only encourages hatred, prejudice, discrimination, racism, and violence, but often this world demands it. So yes, our ability to love, or maybe I shouldn't just say our ability, but our choice to love in a world that demands anything but love, is a power of the most uncommon sort. And we make this choice to love because it is what is asked of us by God. Without choosing love, without loving one another, John tells us that we cannot and we do not love God. But how do we choose love in the midst of all the noise of the world? How do we find love? How do we show love? I think love can look like worship has this morning. It looks like the members and ministers of the Sunshine class ministering unto us, leading us in worship, prayer, scripture, and preaching. Or, if you were fortunate enough, as Danny mentioned earlier, if you attended the reality talent show, and let me hear it if you attended the talent show. Yeah! And I think love looks a lot like the talent show. People of all abilities taking the stage to share their gifts and talents, the things that bring them the most joy. If you were there, maybe you saw some of our Sunshine members perform. Maybe you saw Dana, who led our psalm this morning, as she sang her heart out on stage, making everyone want a vacation with her. Or maybe you saw Stephen and Richard as they busted a move to Michael Jackson hits Thriller and Beat It. Yeah, you can dance, man. You can dance. Or maybe you saw Sunshine member Christopher glide across the stage on a skateboard to a Bruno Mars hit. Or maybe you were greeted by Terry as you made your way to your seat before the show, and he told you that you looked gorgeous, darling. This is love. Sharing their gifts and talents so that there might be a little bit more joy in the world. allowing everyone to celebrate and share in their gifts with them. All of the acts at the talent show were incredible and were an outpouring of love and joy. But there was one act in particular that so beautifully illustrated love. The title of the act was in French, and to save myself the embarrassment of attempting to pronounce French, which I don't speak, and to save y'all from having to listen to me attempt to pronounce French, I will share with you the English translation of the act. The act is called I Love My Sister. And I Love My Sister, two women took the stage to perform a ballet. The two women, although they had different abilities, crafted a dance that incorporated each of their abilities. Nothing they did was separate, but every movement together. The ballet began with the women standing together, one behind the other, artfully moving their arms and bending together. And the ballet progressed from a standing position all the way down to the floor, incorporating somersaults and simultaneous hand motions. The two women, the two sisters, although differently abled, moved and danced together, partnering with each other to help the other dance. The ballet ended with the two sisters holding each other close. But it wasn't until this moment that I realized one of the women did not have motor function in her legs. But with the love and partnership of her sister, together they were able to glide across the stage and perform a ballet all the way from standing to a floor routine. Neither of them could have performed this act without the other. What an incredible act of love. But let's go back to the beginning again. After all, as Julie Andrews says, the beginning is a very good place to start. In the beginning, in love, God created human beings. And Genesis 1 tells us that God created humankind in God's own image. So I want you to take a look at your neighbor. I mean, really take a good, long look. Do you see it? Do you see the image of God? Because it's there. So when the scripture asks, how can we love the God we cannot see if we don't love the person we can see? I think it means that by denying love to another person or a group of people, we are denying the very image of God in them. We are denying that they are fearfully and wonderfully made by God. If we deny part of someone's identity and humanity, or their expression of their identity, of who God created them to be, we are denying that they are bearers of the divine image. We deny that they are children of God. And I think, I hope, we can all agree that we are all children of God. In this letter, John is revealing to his readers the necessity for both a vertical and a horizontal love. Vertical meaning the love between God and humans. Horizontal meaning the love we share with and show to one another. You can't have one without the other. To love God is to love other people. Janet is holding up her piece of paper because she knows this to be true. Because we are all children of God. We are all members of Christ's body. My friends in the Sunshine class have taught me a lot about love. What it means to all be members of Christ's body, children of God. One Wednesday evening in November, we observed communion in the Sunshine class. We didn't have the table that typically sits at the front that says, "Do this in remembrance of me," but instead, bread and Kroger's finest grape juice were placed on a card table I found in the back of the fellowship hall. For this communion, I ask members of the class to serve: Dana, Charles, Stephanie, and Terry. The servers would walk to each person with the bread and the wine and say, "This is the body and blood of Christ for you." The words of institution were spoken over the card table turned communion table, and the four servers came forward. And I watched as Terry handed each person the bread. And instead of saying, "This is the body of Christ for you," Terry said, "That's you." You see, what Terry knew and what he told everyone when he handed them the bread was that they were members of Christ's body. No matter who they were, where they had come from, what their abilities were, what their identity was, no matter what they had done in their past or what their future held, they were beloved members of Christ's body. And in that communion, more than any other communion I've participated in, the Sunshine members reminded me of the power of love. The ability it has to make the most mundane things sacred. I mean, who would have thought that a card table could be a communion table? And who would have thought that ordinary bread and juice could be made a sacred meal by the love of Jesus? It's this love that makes us all members, all ministers, all participants of Christ's body. "That's you," Terry said. "That's you. That's me. That's Terry. That's all of us, because of love." We're told in 1 Corinthians that without love, we are nothing. We may speak, but if we speak without love, we're nothing but a noisy, clanging cymbal. We may have a faith that can move mountains, but if we don't have love, we are nothing. God is love, and it is in God's love that we live and move and breathe and have our very being. It's because of love we are gathered here today. Without it, we have nothing. We are nothing. So may we be people who choose love in a world that demands anything but love. May we recognize that we are all bearers of the image of God and are God's children. We, each and every one of us, are members and ministers of Christ's body. And if we ever find ourselves wondering, what's love got to do with it? With any of it? May we remember, may we know that love has everything to do with it. Amen. Now is the time that we respond to our hour of worship. We respond to the Spirit's movement and ministry in the scriptures and prayers and sermons given by our ministers in the Sunshine class. They will come forward and they will sing for you all, and then you will join in singing with them in the second song. So take this time and respond to the Spirit's movement. And if you would like to respond publicly, you will be warmly received.